take your Bible and turn to Job chapter number 31. Job chapter number 31. This is lesson number 20 on the subject of separation. Tonight we're going to talk about separation and our eyes. Separation and our eyes. Job chapter 31. And why don't you stand with me real quickly? Job chapter 31. I want us to look at verse number 1. I'm going to read a handful of verses and then we're going to talk about these. Job 31, verse number 1. This is Job speaking, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways, and count my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." I want you to look back at verse number 1. Notice it said, "I made a covenant with my eyes." So he said, I made an agreement with my eyes. Then he said, "Why then should I think upon a maid?" Notice he talked about the eyes, but he followed it up with a statement about his thinking. And so you all understand, what you allow to come in your eyes is going to affect the way you think. And I think there is a major element of separation that your eyes play a part. And let's pray. Father, help me tonight. Such a simple thought, but yet, Father, so important to our living right and our living holy and separate in this present world. Holy Spirit of God, take the simplicity of tonight's sermon, but may it make a difference in someone's mind. May it make a difference in someone's life. Father, help us to use the eyes that you have given us. Help us to use them your way. Bless us tonight with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm going to read a little handful of verses to you, and they all have to do with seeing or the eyes. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light." 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." Psalm 101, verse number 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." In Matthew 5:28 it says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them." Proverbs 21:4 says, "An high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." Just a couple more. Job 31:7, "If my steps hath turned out of the way, and my heart walketh after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hand." Did you hear those words? It says, "And mine heart walketh after my eyes." Acts chapter 9, verse 18 says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Psalm 38:10 says, "My heart panteth, My strength faileth me as the light of mine eyes. It also is gone from me. The Bible talks a lot about your eyes. If you did a study, you start in the book of Genesis, go all the way through the book of Revelation, and God talks about the eyes. And our eyes are important to us. Thank God, everybody in here, you can see. You're able to use your eyes. Now, not only do you see physically, but I think all of us, because we are saved, we see spiritually. We have a spiritual perception as well as a physical perception. I believe that this subject of separation, one of the ways to succeed at it is getting control of your eyes. Don't let your eyes look at just anything. Don't let your eyes wander. If you heard it there, one verse said, "And mine heart walked after mine eyes." In other words, what I looked at, it guided my heart, and I began to have feelings toward what I looked at. My emotions were stirred. My heart, if you will, when it talks about the heart, it's not talking about the physical organ of the heart. Although sometimes in the Bible, it's the physical organ. Here, it's not that. The heart is the seat of the emotion. And he said, what I looked at tapped into my emotion. It moved me. Hey, so listen, you need to be careful at what you're looking. In Job chapter 31, if you have your Bible there, Job chapter 31, verse number 1, this is what Job said. He said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" And again, that amazes me. You remember earlier from Job chapter 31, verse 7, Job was the one that says, "Mine heart walketh after mine eyes." Now, Job says here in Job 31:1, he said, "I made a covenant with my eyes." Then he said, "Why should I think upon a maid?" In other words, my eyes affect my mind. My eyes affect what I think about. What I see affects my ponderings. It affects my concentration. It affects my thinking. And I think we all understand that. It makes a lot of common sense. This statement here, "I made a covenant with mine eyes," it was made by Job. I think Job was a great man. I think Job had a lot of success. You know, Job was so successful that he had God's attention. Satan said, I'd like to give somebody a hard time. And God said, "Well, have you thought about Job?" I hope God doesn't think that highly of me. "Have you thought about Job?" Why? Because God had confidence in Job. Satan learned a lot about Job. Job was a pretty confident, and I don't mean arrogant, but he was a strong Christian. But look what Job said. He said, "I made a covenant with my eyes." If I were to do a little interview with Job, I would ask him, say, "Job, how did you become the strong Christian that you were?" I don't think Job was perfect, but I think he was a pretty strong Christian. To have God say, "Have you considered my servant Job?" If we ask him, "Job, wherein lies some of your strength?" I think he would say, "I tell my eyes what to do." I don't think any scripture in the Bible is there by accident. So I think Job, he said, "I made a covenant with my eyes." What's that mean? I had a talk with my eyes. He said, "Me and my eyes, we signed an agreement. We made a contract. We pledged something to one another. We agreed about what my eyes would look at and what they would not look at." And never forget, in the earlier stages of my teaching on the subject of separation, I told you that separation is from something to something. Now, when you separate with your eyes, the whole goal is that you look away from what's wrong and look to what's right. If I'm going to take my eyes off of something that's immoral, then I want to look at what's moral or what's clean or what's pure. If my eyes were looking at a book that was filthy, I'd recommend that you take your eyes off of the filthy book and put it on the holy book. But separation and the eyes are very deeply connected. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Have you decided to practice separation with your eyes? I think the Bible's pretty clear. I think there are things that Christians just should not look at. You ought to tell your eyes what's required of them. There are many things that you should not look at. There are many things that your eyes should not focus on. Your eyes are a little bit like your mind in a way. My old college president, he told me, I heard him one day talk about a bad thought or a bad picture. And this is what he said. It's a little bit like a bird. If there's a bird out there flying, a bird may come and land on your head. Bad thoughts, I mean, there are pictures out there. You don't have control of everything out there. So something can come at you. And he said it's like a bird. A bird may come and land on your head. He said, but you do not have to let it build a nest there. And in your thinking, something may enter your mind. And the devil tries to enter through our minds. That's all the pictures and all that's out there. But that does not mean the bad thought that landed on your head ought to be entertained. It doesn't mean it needs to stay there. It doesn't mean you need to concentrate on it. And look, if something that your eyes should not see, if something flashes in front of you, can I recommend that you look away? You might. I can remember when I was in Bible college, I was so striving to, I wanted to be decent. I wanted to be pure. There was a way that we drove to work and they had a big liquor advertisement. And the woman that was advertising the liquor was about, she was scantily clad and it was seductive. I have to tell you, I finally told the guy I was riding to work with, I said, I'm not going down that street anymore. He said, well, it's going to take us about 5 extra minutes to go around. I said, I'm going around. I said, I don't want to drive past that anymore. Now, you may not take a 5-minute detour, but I'm going to tell you, everybody here, there comes a moment when you need to figure out a way not to look at something in your life. Because that something, through your eye gates, if I may call them, enter things that will end up in your mind. And if you're not careful, it'll end up in your life. And I think one of the elements of separation is control of the eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. In other words, what Job said was, I told my eyes, we're going to live a life of separation. There are things my eyes are not going to be allowed to look at. I think we all need to make that decision. Let me talk to you about that thought for just a little while. Number one, in regard to this thing of separation in your eyes, I think you ought to practice separation with your eyes in regard to looking at the opposite sex. And I'm not talking about glancing at someone and in propriety. I think really the best thing to do is when you're looking at the opposite sex and talking to them, I think you ought to look them in the eye, look them in the face. But the Bible says this, Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I'm not going to try to describe what the last half of that verse says, but I am going to tell you this. It says in the first half of the verse, we're not to look and lust. That's pretty clear. We're not to look and lust. Job, remember, said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, what he's saying here is, I got control of my eyes, and by getting control of my eyes, my mind was not lusting. See, he made an agreement with his eyes because he knew if he kept some things from his eyes, he would keep things out of his mind, and in his mind, that lust would be developed. Folks, guard yourself morally. Be clean. Be pure. Stay away from looking at things in regard to the opposite sex that are indecent. You all know this, but I'll say it because it needs to be said. You shouldn't be looking at pornography. You shouldn't be looking at people unclothed. I'm going to tell you all something, and I'm not trying to be inappropriate, but there was a day when women and men didn't advertise their underclothing on national television. And though everybody's doing it, still didn't make it right. Our society has just gone down and down and down. So now we think it's okay, but it's not supposed to be that way. But again, you shouldn't be looking at pornography. You shouldn't be looking at it on the internet. You need to watch the nudity and what you're looking at on television or in books. And parents, I'll tell you, and you've heard this, I don't know if I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, but obviously the new telephones, they're just computers that have a telephone mechanism in them, and most young people have access to the internet, which means they have access to pornography that they can bring right into their phone. And parents, if you're not savvy enough to know how to check up on it, you might want to just get rid of the phone. Because smart kids are looking at things they should not look at. And you young people, I just want to tell you, you better make a covenant with your eyes. You better tell your eyes what to look at. And I'm not just talking to boys now. I'm talking to boys and girls and men and women. There's a separation that ought to be practiced with the eyes concerning the looking at the opposite sex. I don't think you're supposed to check the opposite sex. I don't think you're supposed to be checking their body out up and down. I don't think you ought to be staring at their body parts. And let me tell you something. And everybody here, look, ladies, men, anybody, when you're working around the church, ladies, I want you to think about something. Be careful bending over in front of a bunch of men. Be careful that you don't reveal yourself. Be careful that your top is high enough to cover everything. Don't get lazy about it. And to everybody here, if someone is lazy and somehow they do expose a part of their body that you ought not look at, don't stare. Look away. Cover your eyes. Say, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why would I then think wrongly on a maid? Girls, never dress to entice. Don't show your body off. Save that for your man. Separation with the eyes will protect the mind. And so, the first point is, practice separation in regard to the opposite sex and what you look at. Secondly, this is going to sound outrageous to some of you, but it's in the Bible, so it needs to be taught. I think there's a separation in regard to our eyes in regard to liquor. Now, for those of you that think drinking liquor is okay, I want you, someday you need to explain this verse to me. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now, that verse right there, it's not only teaching drinking liquors wrong, it said don't look at it. Don't look at it. Now, I have a habit in my life. I don't drink things that I can't see. You know, if you said to me, preacher, close your eyes, drink this, I'm thinking, no, find some other idiot. I think that's how God sees liquor. He said, don't look at it. He's talking about the fermentation. He said, don't look at it. If you're here and if you're here, you're a teenager, you're a child. If there's liquor at home at your house, it may not be anything that a teenage boy or a teenage girl or a young person can do about it. But I'll tell you this, kids, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't go to the refrigerator and look at it. Don't go to the cabinet and look at it. That enticement will affect your mind. You'll just like the enticement where Job said, I had to get my eyes under control so I didn't think about a maid. He's talking about the immorality of the opposite sex. I think God is saying if you didn't look at it, you'll less apt to be enticed to drink the liquor. I'd watch laughing at all the liquor commercials, and When my children were growing up, and again, you all think I'm an old fuddy-dud and old-fashioned, but when we got to the aisle where they sold the liquor in the store, we didn't go down it with our kids because we didn't want our kids around it. We didn't want them anywhere around it. Notice it says, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color. It's talking about fermented drink. Don't even look at it. So, I am to practice separation with my eyes in regard to the opposite sex. I am to practice separation with my eyes in regard to liquor. Thirdly, the Bible talks about practicing separation with our eyes in regard to an inappropriate passion for riches or covetousness. Let me read to you Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich. That's weird. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. In other words, God said it's probably your thinking that caused you to want to have everything. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagles toward heaven. So you know, all know, riches won't make you happy. Happiness is not in what you are. Happiness is found, happiness is not found in what you have. It's found in what you are. There are people that have half of what you have and they're happy. And some of you are striving to make millions and you're not happy. You've got twice as much as some, but you're not happy. And somebody that's got half as much as you, they're happy. So remember, that happiness, that fulfillment, it's not found in what you have. It's found in what you are. And you could choose to be what you want to be. But notice the Bible's telling us here that we should not set our eyes upon that. I think this. I think everybody that works ought to work hard. I think people ought to strive to succeed. I think if you're building a business, I think you ought to strive to succeed with that business. But it shouldn't all be about money. Life is not all about money. Be careful with your eyes coveting. Maybe some people would do better if they didn't spend their time looking at things they can't afford. Young couples, maybe since this is America, maybe someday you can buy a house. Now, what I'd recommend for you is I would not go shopping for the houses that are $100,000 and $200,000 more than what you can afford. Why don't you look at what you can afford? And you say, well, why not go look at those houses that are $200,000 more than I can afford? Because you'll go buy the house you can afford and not like a thing about it because you had your eyes set on one that you couldn't afford. So now you live in a house and you hate it. I'll tell you what you do. Go look at all the houses that are $100,000 cheaper than what you can afford. And then you'll be very happy when you buy the one that you can afford. But the Bible is talking about watch what you let your eyes see. Separate your eyes from contributing to a passion of riches. I'm sure all of you have friends that are worth millions of dollars and you've met people like that. But I've met friends through the years that are worth lots of money. And I've had more than one of them say, people think money makes you happy. Most of them tell me it makes you miserable. But you don't know who your friends are. And it's always all about every decision. It's about money this and money that. And so, but folks, don't cause yourself to lust after things. Now, I want to qualify it. We live in America. You can achieve in America. You can succeed in America. I think you ought to use your money wisely. But boy, money ought to not be everything that motivates you. Don't destroy your marriage over money. Don't destroy your children over money. Don't destroy your Christianity over money. Don't cause yourself to lust expensive clothes and houses and cars. You're not trying to keep up with the Joneses. Covetousness may start with the eyes. If you look in the Garden of Eden, when Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says she saw it was good for food. It may be that what her eyes looked at is what ignited the fall of man, and we're still paying for it today. Because she did not practice, maybe separation with her eyes. So let's learn to practice separation in regard to the opposite sex and propriety and morality. Let's practice separation with our eyes in regard to liquor. Let's practice... they're probably silly, and you'll think I'm silly when we were laughing. Some of our disaster relief supplies came in, and we had these, I call them fake bottles of wine. They're actually like seltzer water, but they look like wine bottles. You all look at me. Don't look at me like a bunch of holy Joes. You know what I'm talking about. But we were embarrassed of them. We were all saying, oh, hi, Dad, move that out of the road and everything. Why? The last thing we want, we wouldn't want somebody to come by our church and think that we had a bunch of wine down at our church. We don't even want him. We wouldn't want him to see the empty bottles on our property. Why? We protect against that sort of thing. We all feel that. You say, I want to protect the church. You got to protect you. So separate in regard to riches, and separate in regard to the opposite sex, and separate in regard to liquor. Fourthly, the Bible talks about separation in regard to seeing evil things. Listen to Isaiah 33, verse 15. It says, he that walketh righteously, at the end of the verse it says, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. I'm not going to teach a long lesson, but let me give you a little reminder. There's a difference in sin and evil. Sin is when I disobey the law of God. It's a breach of the law of God. Evil is a sin, but it is a sin that's a little more complicated than that. Really, when evil is unleashed, it's someone attacking another. It's someone that's out to assassinate someone's character. They're trying to tear someone down. There's an attack. There's a viciousness. It's best called evil. Gossip is a part of evil. Backbiting is a part of evil. Spreading slander is a part of evil. And the Bible says that we should shut our eyes from seeing evil. You say, what does that mean? Let's say that there is some website where you could go and read something that is someone trying to destroy another. You got to shut your eyes to it. You shouldn't look at it. You shouldn't read it. You shouldn't feed that kind of trash into your brain. Evil, that's a word attack. Someone that's attacking with words. God said, watch out. Close your eyes to evil. So we are to separate from looking at evil. Well, then, if God would tell us to separate from looking at evil, I'm going to guess then he would tell us to separate from someone practicing evil. I mean, if just looking at it is bad, then I'm going to guess that then being a participant is far worse. So separate your eyes from evil. Separate your eyes from a passion for riches. Separate your eyes from liquor. Separate your eyes from nudity and looking at the opposite sex. Let me give you another thing the Bible teaches. The Bible says we're to separate our eyes concerning vanity. Vanity. Psalm 119, verse number 37, it says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. So God's saying, don't look at vanity, or he's saying this issue of vanity should not be something that we practice, and it should not be something that we support. Vanity, there, if I may, I guess vanity, it's virtually a pride about oneself and an excessive pride about oneself. I think God is saying, I don't think you need 2 and 3 hours in front of the mirror. Watch how important, I've watched how important your clothing is. Now, I think a lady ought to dress modestly. I think there's a way that a lady ought to dress. I think there's a way a man ought to dress. I think there's a way we ought to dress. There's a propriety. There's a modesty in the way we dress. But folks, sometimes people and their clothing, it's all about image. And I think God says, look away from vanity. Don't be staring at yourself all the time, building up what you think about the way you look. God said, look away from that. Turn away from it. And you're, hey, and if you turn away with your eye, then your mind's not going to be, controlled by it. I think God's telling you not to practice too much self-admiration. Now, there's somebody in here, you're saying, that's right. Well, there's some of you, it wouldn't hurt you if you'd comb your hair and brush your teeth every once in a while. We'd like it. And yet there are others that will spend hours and hours and hours, and it's all about their public image and how good they look. And there are people in here that they really think they're attractive and they really think there's something special about them. Let me tell you something. The hair that you have, God gave that to you. You didn't create that. The eyes that you have, God gave that to you. You didn't create that. Now, He may have given it to you and told you to keep it clean, and He may have given it to you and told you to keep it healthy. But you don't have anything on your body that God didn't create, and I'd be careful taking credit for what He did. And vanity is when I start claiming what God did. Look, folks, I'm good looking, but I didn't do that. God did. God did. There's nothing I can do about it. Oh, but my, we do live in a generation where people worship their hair. And they worship their bodies, and they worship their clothes, their physique. I think God is saying you need to look away from that kind of behavior. But not only that, I'd be careful, I'll call it worshiping others in regard to their vanity. I don't think anybody in here ought to be setting up Hollywood stars as their heroes because of how attractive he is or she is. You say, well, that guy right there, boy, he's a hunk. Well, he thinks you're a chunk and you don't qualify. So if I were you, I'd come back down to earth where the rest of us live and face it. You know, someone being famous because of the color of their hair, I'm not sure that God ever intended that. But God said, He said this, Psalm 119, verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. I don't think we ought to be vain about ourselves, nor do I think that we ought to worship or uplift vain people. So, this thing of separation in the eyes, I think it is to be practiced with the opposite sex. We're talking about being clean and moral and decent. I think it is to be practiced with liquor. I think it's to be practiced in regard to not having a passion for riches. I think we should stay away from evil, and we shouldn't be looking at evil things. I think that I've got too many opinions that are in my brain right now. I think vanity, we should be careful. I'll give you one more. And then we'll be done. The Bible teaches that we are to separate in regard to our eyes concerning wicked things, from wicked things. Psalm 101, verse number 3, the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. No wicked thing. So we could call the roll. No wicked thing. Well, wicked shows, wicked people, wicked pictures, wicked drinks, wicked words. There are many, many things. Maybe someday, if you want to do a little Bible study, go through the Bible and find out about that word wicked. And then look for every time something could be described as wicked. And just remember, he said, don't put that in front of your eyes. Now, if somebody else said it in front of your eyes, you might not stop from glancing at it, but you don't have to stare at it. Remember, a bird could land on your head, but you don't have to let that bird build a nest there. You may see something that you should not see, but you don't have to look at it again. You can shun it, and there's some of you, I would say that probably everybody in here, at least from teenage years up, you know how to block. You know how to block something out of your brain. There's some of you, you got some pictures in your brain. It's time for you to start blocking them out of your mind instead of, in the privacy of your mind, being entertained by mental pictures that you have in your mind because you let things in your eyes that got into your brain. You can block it. You can block that out. You can fight that. You can conquer that, if you will. But he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I think one of the keys to successfully separating is control of the eyes. And I think that's exactly what Job was teaching. He just happened to say, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I think we could put a lot of attachments to the idea of, I made a covenant with my eyes, so I won't, you name it. Control your eyes. Your eyes will help you to be separated. That separation is going to protect your mind. Because once things start getting in your mind, boy, they can snowball and they can get you in a lot of trouble. And so, Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And then Job said 7 verses later, and mine heart walketh after mine eyes. In other words, I let my eyes see it, and the next thing you know, here comes my emotions. I'm getting attached. I'm experiencing feelings toward what I saw. I developed a passion for it. I wanted it. Guard your eyes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Very simple lesson. I don't think I probably taught anything tonight that you all didn't already know, but let us be reminded of it. Guard your eyes. Oh, guard your eyes. When I was working in machine shops, they asked us to wear safety glasses to keep things from getting in our eyes that would destroy us. God wants you to put on some spiritual safety glasses. They put a blinder on a horse so that horse will stay on track. I think God wants us to put blinders on in our Christian life so we seek Him and we stay in His Word and keep our eyes on the prize, which is holiness. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I needed a reminder. I feel like I've received a reminder tonight. I see that I need to guard my eyes. Hey, and who would say, and pastor, I want to do that. I want to guard my eyes. I want to separate with my eyes. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I want to separate with my eyes. I want to be pure with my eyes. You may put your hands down. We'll have an altar call. If you've let some things in your brain that you shouldn't have, there might not be anything we can do about what's past, but boy, you can stop what comes in the future. Maybe you need to come and pray and say, God, give me strength to protect my eyes, because my eyes affect my heart, my mind, and my thinking. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Guard your eyes, young people. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes, men. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes, Christian. Guard your eyes, leaders. Guard your eyes. Separate with your eyes. You say, pastor, I would never let my body get involved. If you don't want your body involved, you better not get your mind involved. And if you don't want your mind involved, you better keep your eyes uninvolved. Don't look at wrong things. You ought to close your eyes to evil. When you find that someone's evil, when you find somebody writing something evil, producing something evil, they're out to attack someone, they're out to hurt someone, I'd retract myself from it. Ushers, if you have prayer bulletins, we'll distribute what we have in just a moment. And my heart walked after mine eyes.